And now it gives me great pleasure to introduce the second of tonight's speakers, who is Nicole.
Thanks, Dean. So, I'm Nicole and I'm an addict. And I don't know how I'm going to get on with this thing here. Well, I don't really like sharing as it is, so this makes it a lot bigger in my head. So, so I'm an addict. So, as like DJ said, welcome to anyone that's new or at their first meeting or been around for a while. You know, whatever your reason for being here is what keeps me coming back here. I'm really nervous. I don't know if I can talk for 40 minutes, and I'm really not sure whether Dean's ever heard me share, so you can blame him if you don't like what I say or it doesn't make sense. Just blame Dean, don't blame him. So, yeah, I come to NA still, so I've been clean a little while, and I still come because I believe in what I learned here about having a disease. You know, and if I don't treat it, I become very ill very quickly. So, you know, I've got so many examples of that. So when I sat down, I've not asked how long I'm sharing for, if I'm supposed to be sharing on anything, when there's any kind of topic, I've just kind of sat down. I don't know if I'm going first, I don't know if I'm going second. So in that 10 minutes sitting down here, I've gone through a whole range of different scenarios, yeah? So I come from a little town in Blackburn. This is like being in a West End show, the star. Do you know what I mean? And I was just sitting here thinking, you don't even know. And then whatever I think, it's never right. You know, my first thought is, like, I was come down with a couple of people and they said, you're going first or second. I said, I don't know. Does it matter? So then I'm thinking, do I want to go first? If I go first, I'll get it out of the way and then I can relax. But then, if I do go first, the other person will obviously say things that I was meant to say. And then I'll just go home thinking it was all shit and I should have gone second. You know, so whatever I think is never right. And throughout my whole life, when I look back over it, it has always been like that. You know, from being really young, you know, and I don't question why or how or when or what. I just know that I think differently and I behave differently, you know, and I usually do things that really aren't good for me or anyone else around me. I'm not even meaning to, you know, before taking drugs, I just felt different, and I didn't know any of this stuff until coming to NA. So it wasn't like I was growing up and I thought I felt different. And it's only looking back over my life that I just thought there was just something different about me. You know, I never felt I could be myself. I always had to, you know, there was always something wrong, always. And that's, I still get that now. And for me, where you spoke about the disease concept, that's the disease I have within me. Wherever I go, whatever I do is never good enough. You know, there's however many people in this room, I could find something different and be worse than every single one of you. You know, I could. And what I see in here is sometimes that is better for people and sometimes it's worse. I'm one of those where it's always worse. You know, I'm not an arrogant person. I don't put myself better than. You know, but even being worse than is a form of, like, separating myself. You know, and what NA has given me most of the time is acceptance of who I am and that I am okay with what I do, where I go and who I am. You know, and not trying to compare myself to anyone or anything. So first bit, you know, I've got all the stories of using, you know, I have my son using, you know, so I've got all the devastation around what I did to him, you know, the stuff around parents. And again, something I've really tried not to focus on here, because I did it in the beginning, was either I didn't use enough, or I didn't do things as bad as you, or, you know, I didn't hurt as many people, or, you know, I didn't travel around the world and do all these different things with drugs or behaviour. But when I look back, when I wanted to stop, which is the main reason I come here, is because there is differences with everybody. You know, whether it's growing up, circumstances, what I've been through, what drugs I took, you know, what consequences happened. At the end of my using, and I was quite young as well, so I was 23 when I stopped, and probably even for a few years before that, every day I was using against my will. You know, I was getting up, wanting to stop doing what I was doing, and could not stop. You know, and I would go out and get whatever drugs I had to take and hurt anyone I had to hurt in the process. You know, go home, well, not even home, because I got thrown out of all them, and my mum would end up taking me back. Taking whatever substance it was and crying, you know, not knowing why I could not stop, you know, and remembering. Now, remembering, I still remember what that felt like. You know, I don't ever want to forget how painful that was. You know, because as much as, you know, there's painful situations I've been through in recovery, and, you know, there's life happens. You know, whether I turn up or not, life happens. That feeling of getting up in the morning, either what my using was like, and again, this might be different, but I've no doubt that whether it was bad or not, it would end up being like that. The thought of where I was going to get my money from, you know, who I was going to hurt that day. Like, I felt that stuff. Like, I felt my mum's pain before I knew I was going to go and scream at her so she'd feel bad, so she would give me money so I could go and use. You know, I knew that I would feel bad when I left my son in his bed at 2 years old upstairs, and I took my mum's car in the middle of the night, and I didn't know if I was coming home. Like, I felt that, but I could not stop it. And the thought of getting up and doing that again every day was horrific. You know, so I keep that, like you spoke about step one stuff, that step one, you know, that powerlessness, for anyone that doesn't know or does know, that feeling for me, I hopefully will never forget what that is like, because that's why I still come to meetings, because I never want to be back in that position where I have to do those things, now I'm going to hurt those people, and I don't have to. You know, not just like the insanity. Like, so the insanity is still there for me in my head, no matter what, I've still got insane thoughts. So, when I first got clean, coming here and being really young, like I said, not that I was scared to ask whether I was going first or how long it was going to be or what I was going to do, but when I first got clean, I was too scared to ask. You know, so when I came into meetings, when people say get numbers and speak to people, I couldn't do that. You know, my whole life had been around not kind of getting support from anybody, and then to be told in here this is what you had to do. Again, I try and remember what it was like when I first got clean and how difficult it can be walking into a meeting, you know, and being having like an expectation that my whole life has got to change now. You know, I've got to change people, places, things, you know, behavior, talk to people, get like all this stuff. I could barely say my name. You know, I could barely speak to people. So, like I said, you can blame Dean if you don't like what I've got to say. But, like, and I am only one person in NA. I only have my story. You know, most of what I say is what I've picked up out of literature. It's nothing original. For me, the literature is what I used when I first got clean. You know, because it's the same as when I first got clean as what it is now. And I can't argue with that. You know, and it really told me a lot when I couldn't ask people or understand it. Because even now, I can go to a meeting and someone can say the same thing in five different ways, and only one way will make sense for me or connect with me. So when I read literature, that is something that I did. When people, you know, like it's announced, there's literature in there, take it, read it. You know, I still do it now, I can't argue with it. I went to a book meeting last night in Bournemouth, and I can't argue with it. And when I go to a meeting like that, you know, we kind of joke about it now. Every time we go, it always will tell you something that you're not doing that you could be doing. always. And I need to do that to treat my thinking. You know, or else I've seen it happen to so many people who start dropping out meetings, you know, start getting all that outside stuff, because I didn't have anything when I got clean, you know, nothing externally. And even though I've built some of that, that is not the most important thing to me. The most important thing to me is being able to get up and have that choice of what I do that day, you know, and it's not driven by having to do something that I don't want to do and hurting everyone around me. You know, this, the spiritual side of this program I love, because my connection to people, you know, and feeling okay and being able to be there. You know, this morning I've took my daughter shopping, you know, and I've had my granddaughter, like I say, my son was stuck in the bedroom at 2 years old, waking up in the middle of the night for my mum to get him. You know, that, I don't do that now. You know, I've got food in my cupboards. You know, I turn up on time. You know, if I say I'm going to do something, I do it. All those things are still really important to me. And hopefully I will never forget what it was like when I was using, because I can have that back any time. You know, and although this may seem hard, because I've been through phases, you know, I don't want to come to meetings, you know, in fact, my disease is really powerful, and it doesn't take a lot to bite into negativity, you know, and I have to work really, really hard to not do that. So we've got in the car to come up here. So we're not even 2 minutes out of the way and someone goes, we're going all the way to London to go to a meeting. Well, get out of the car then. Like, you know, if you don't want to come, you don't have to come. Then another 20 minutes down the road, are we really going to London to go to a meeting? You know, I planned to come on my own. It was all right. It wasn't a problem. But I can laugh at that stuff. You know, I hear it in meetings with, and that's one thing I really, really try my best to not do, is I don't judge people for where they're at, you know, what they're going through. You know, I, with all the things I have done in my life that are far from perfect, who am I to judge another human being and what their journey is and when they get this program and when they want to change and, you know, what they want to do? Who am I to do that? You know, and I came here, and the things that stood out for me when I came to NA was the acceptance that I got, that whatever I'd done, no matter how bad I thought it was, that I was accepted and I was told that it was okay, you know, and I was informed that I didn't have to carry on doing that stuff and that my life would change. So one thing I really pride myself on is trying my best not to judge another human being, you know, because I don't know where they're at, what they've got going on, you know, what their background is, what, you know, what's going on for them. And, you know, being early in recovery, remembering how sensitive I was to anything, you know, walking down the street, I think it was about 6 months clean, I was walking down the street in Bournemouth. So I've only just got there. I'm just starting to feel a bit better and a bit okay. You know, I've got a sponsor. I'm kind of learning a bit about stuff, but still really naive. So someone's walked past me and they've ignored me. So I've gone home, and for about 2 weeks, I'm thinking about why this person's ignored me. So by this point, I'm avoiding meetings now, because they go to that meeting. And if I see them, they might ignore me again. So if they ignore me again, I'm obviously a really terrible, bad, important person that they need to do that to me. So then I go home again. I think, well, I can't go to these other meetings because they know these people in these meetings and they talk to those people in those meetings. So in fact, I can't go to any meetings in Bournemouth. So I need to move. But my if I don't treat, my thinking can still be like that. And if I, and this, the daily stuff, everything it says about doing it daily, if I get up today and I do, you know, meditation, the Just For Today readings, or read a bit of literature, or, you know, do my prayer and meditation, then go to work, I can probably deal with things throughout the day better than if I don't. And if I continuously don't do that, and I have done that, is I end up in not a very good place where I don't want to see anyone, I don't like everyone, and the whole world's against me, and using always becomes an option. You know, I never think that I am not capable of using again. If I do not treat this, my solution will always be something external to me, you know, to fix how I'm feeling. And the steps do that. You know, the 12 steps have given me that I could never do anything like this. You know, I used to sit in meetings in Bournemouth. In fact, I'm really surprised I've taken my coat off. You know, my coat is my security. I never went anywhere for about 5 years without my coat on. Because I thought if someone spoke to me, I would probably break. You know, I was that fragile. So when I come here, I believe in trying to treat people with respect. You know, I might not like how people behave. I'm sure people haven't liked my choices or what I do. But when I'm battling against this disease, and I think, if you think about everyone sat in this room and what devastation we all cause or would cause if we were all out there right now doing what we're doing, you know, that's quite an amount of people or less devastation that's being caused, you know, and the impact of just being here, even if I'm defective, is massive. Yeah, my mum sleeps at night. You know, my daughter can phone me in the middle of the night. You know, there's food in my cupboard as she turns up. My life wasn't like that when I was young. I had no food unless my mum fed me. I had no clean clothes unless my mum washed them for me. You know, that's how it was. And it's, well, I say, it's not like that. And that peace of mind and freedom I have, and being accepted for me, and not from anybody out here, I accept me. You know, and if I accept me, it means I'm more likely to accept all of you. And the only way I've got that is by getting a sponsor. You know, it says it in the readings, doing meetings regularly, you know, learning about the steps and applying them in my life. You know, why come to a 12-step program and not learn about 12 steps? Mm-hmm. I remember hearing that once and thinking, oh, that's quite good, that is. You know, the main thing is working the 12 steps. The 12 steps are what gives me the freedom. You know, and I love my life. I wish I could bottle it and give it to people. You know, when we had that moment at the beginning, you know, someone I know for over 20 years relapsed on and off, and they asked me to come to a meeting yesterday. You know, and I messaged them to go and pick them up, and they didn't answer me. You know, and that makes me really sad. Because anyone can have this. It might take a bit of effort, you know, it might mean doing things you don't want to do, but in the long run, if you follow it thoroughly, the gifts you can have are amazing. Amazing. You know, and I wish I could give it to more people, but all I can do is try and do what I'm doing now, and hopefully someone will get a little bit of hope from what I say. You know, like, great. You spoke about gratitude at the end, and I believe a really big thing about that, if I remain grateful for whatever I have, like, I still remain grateful for having clean sheets, you know, like I say, the food in the cupboard, you know, hot water, because even those things I didn't have. People, like, the house I live in, I think I've been there, and my daughter's 21, 16 years. I've never been anywhere for a couple of years without moving or getting thrown out or somewhere. Like, 16 years I've been in the same house, you know, and I've not been in debt there, I've not paid the bills, you know, all those things. 16 years in the same house. Like, that's amazing. A relationship for 10 years. He's lucky he's still alive. But 10 years, you know, I've consistently working at things because it doesn't always go my way. 10 years, you know, and that hasn't been easy. You know, I've got a son that was using, that got clean and is using, you know, and he doesn't know where he is with that stuff. That's difficult. you know, partners that use, really close friends that, you know, one of the hardest things for me is building relationships, because I feel rejected and I'm not good enough, and you all do that stuff all because of me. It's nothing to do with me. But it doesn't mean it doesn't hurt, but the only way I've got through anything is by talking to my sponsor, going to meetings, getting out of myself, helping other people, and being really honest about what's going on for me. And I can get through anything. No, about 10 years, how long have I been going on for? I'm doing all right, aren't I? So 10, I won't be going on much longer. So, you know, about 10, I think it was about 10 years clean. And this for me, things can happen in life and I never know when they're gonna happen. You know, so I can be plodding along really nicely. And again, what I've seen in other people in here is if they don't do this stuff, you know, their lives can be going really well, then all of a sudden things can happen. They haven't got the power to deal with it. You know, having a higher power, having the program, having all that stuff I've said is what helps me manage things when they come along. You know, so when I found out at 10 years clean, like I was in work and my partner phoned me actually and said, you need to come home. I said, I'm not coming home, I'm at work. I need to go and do a bit of shopping before I go home. He said, no, you need to come home. And I've gone home and I've got two police officers in my house. And like, I'm on my lunch break from work. Anyway, so they've sat me down. My son's in the other room. Anyway, they told me that he was being abused by a big paedophile ring in Bournemouth. And, if I didn't have the people that I had in recovery, you know, I didn't hear about anyone else. You know, the thing when I come to meetings, there's always someone that's been through something, you know, that I've that everyone's experienced. And, you know, after the shock of it, it's, again, this stuff isn't about me. You know, I could have made that stuff really about me and my guilt from what I didn't do. And, you know, but that stuff, it's that I need to turn it into what can I do about it? You know, not like going to poor me and look what's happening to me and how difficult it was. You know, so what I had to do, you know, and I had to go back to work. You know, I didn't know, it was like, come on, and I didn't have to. Like, I kind of went back to work, but I thought, how can I find work now? But, you know, people in work supported me. You know, if it wasn't for my partner at the time, I don't know how they got through it. People in the fellowship. And you know what? It wasn't the people that I expected. You know, my sponsor was quite busy. A couple of my friends that I've been friends with had kind of started drinking and going out a bit. So all the people I expected to be there weren't. You know, it was other people. You know, it was newer people in the meetings. You know, it was anyone around that. So I can get that from anywhere. And if I just focus on one or two people, you know, I'm not going to get what I need. Sometimes the support comes from the unlikeliest of places. And one, again, how this program has changed my thinking. One of the main things that got me through that period of time was believing that, do you know what, if someone else in recovery goes through this, I can help. You know, and again, that priceless gift of being able to understand someone's feelings and be able to be there and support them is priceless. You know, and that's all the stuff that matters to me, you know, and that's why I keep coming, because when I see new people come into NA and start looking physically better, you know, start smiling, enjoying life, making friends, getting that freedom that I've got, it is amazing, you know. And again, clean time for me isn't, you know, it means I've got a bit more knowledge and a bit more understanding, but I still need to do what that person does that walks in the door on the first day, you know, to keep what I've got. And to keep what I've got, I need to do things like come and do shares when I don't really want to, or, you know, I can think of 100 reasons not to, because I'm not a natural speaker, you know. I'm a girl from a little town up north that everyone's probably never even heard of. You know, I'm not a West End star. So with that, I think I've gone on for as long as I can. And yeah, new, old, been around for ages, just keep coming back and keep going because it works and it's worth it. So I'll leave it there.